Hey, all, Eric Christensen, pharmacist here, back on the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Appreciate all the listeners that have taken the time to leave a rating and review on iTunes and other places. Greatly appreciated. And if you haven't done so and you love the podcast, definitely that is appreciated. So today we're going to cover potassium supplements. And before you turn off the sound or go to a different podcast, I would suggest you listen to this podcast, because there are definitely going to be some clinical pearls here, and I will discuss a situation that actually led to a death of a patient as well. So mechanistically, there's no secret sauce here. Potassium supplements, examples being Chlorcon or Kader, those are kind of some brand names you might hear thrown around. Potassium chloride is the commonly used potassium salt for replacement. And like I said, mechanistically, we're just replacing the body's natural stores that you get from food and other things there. So we're going to use potassium replacement for when we're low. And the clinical situations where low potassium can result is a nausea and vomiting type situation. You know, where people have poor intake, they may not be getting adequate levels of potassium in their blood. Normal limits of potassium, depend upon the lab a little bit, but anywhere from 3.5 to 5.1 milliequivalent per liter. In addition to just having low potassium, I have seen providers simply add on a potassium supplement when they start a diuretic. So something like hydrochlorothiazide or furosemide, those are good examples of diuretics that can lower potassium. Now keep in mind that it needs to be a potassium depleting diuretic. So something like spironolactone, that's a potassium sparing diuretic, and that's going to actually raise potassium levels. So I have never seen that mistake before, but you know, just remember, if we're adding on a potassium sparing diuretic, maybe we can get by with less potassium supplements. So just a kind of a little clinical pearl there, where maybe we can reduce polypharmacy a little bit. Now, potassium is a high-risk electrolyte. Obviously, this is, you know, an inpatient type of setting. However, in my more outpatient world, where I have much more experience, I have seen a death result from this. And what happened was, it was a medication error where a patient received 80 milliequivalents of potassium instead of 8 milliequivalents of potassium for an extended period of time. And the patient ended up dying of a cardiac issue, cardiac arrhythmia. And so that's what can happen if we get dangerously high potassium levels. So starting to get up into that six plus range, and maybe even low sevens in maybe a couple of situations I've seen it that high as well. So definitely, we need to pay attention when we're using these potassium supplements. I think a lot of people have maybe a little bit of a cavalier attitude when you hear the word supplement. You think, yeah, probably not too big a deal, that type of thing. But we better stay on top of it as far as monitoring our potassium levels there. So I mentioned the diuretics, so furosemide, hydrochlorothiazide, chlorthalidone, torsemide, bumetanide, Bumex. All those type of diuretics can drop that potassium level. You'll pee more out, making it more likely that you might need to use a potassium supplement to bring it up. As far as adverse effects go, obviously the elevated potassium can happen, but directly it can cause a little GI upset in some patients, and usually it's dose dependent, so the higher the dose of the potassium supplement, or the more you're taking at one time, might be a little bit more upsetting. So I generally encourage patients to take it with food. I have had patients that don't take it with food, but you know, there again, it's probably best to do it with food if it's right in their routine there. One unique thing, so some of the potassium supplements have a wax matrix formulation, and that wax matrix actually can come out in the stool, but actually the drug or the potassium leaks out of there. So that can be really unnerving to a patient to see that wax matrix tablet in their stool. Patients may come back and report, I didn't get my potassium supplement, you know, I saw it when I went to the bathroom, that type of thing. But indeed, that potassium does come out of there. So definitely a question I have come across before. Important to remember, when we replace potassium, if we go too high, a couple of things that can bring down potassium. So SPF, sodium polystyrene sulfonate, brand name K-Exalate, can help bring down potassium levels in treatment of a hyperkalemia type situation. Insulin may also be utilized in an emergency type setting that actually can bring down potassium levels in the bloodstream there as well. With that, I think we'll take a quick break. Just want to remind you guys, for 2019, NAPLEX, BCPS, BCGP, BCACP study material at meded101.com has been updated. It is ready to roll for the 2019 testing season. So go check that out. I do update that material about on an annual basis. So in future years coming up, if you're listening to this podcast in that time, keep in mind that we do try to update that for each year, make sure our content is still relevant, still current, and up to snuff as far as guidelines and different things like that go. So with that, let's wrap up on drug interactions. So I mentioned the side effect of GI upset. So what I think about as far as additive drug interactions or other drugs that could upset the GI tract. So I'm thinking NSAIDs. I'm thinking, you know, maybe a metformin causing some nausea, diarrhea, some stomach upset. I'm thinking of, corticosteroids sometimes can cause a little GI upset. So those are a few drugs that, you know, maybe if you took it with potassium, it could cause a little additive GI upset. And I believe I hinted at it a little bit, but ACE inhibitors, ARBs, trimethoprim is another kind of unique one, spironolactone or potassium-sparing diuretics. Use of these medications in combination with potassium supplements can raise that potassium level even further. So it's something you would monitor anyway. If you started a person on an ACE inhibitor, you would check their potassium anyway. But if they're on a potassium supplement or that dose is changing or, the patient hasn't been adherent and now is adherent, keep in mind those fluctuations and the timing of those starts and those transitions can alter that potassium level. And we need to be keeping an eye on that because there are serious consequences for very elevated potassium that can occur. I think that wraps up the episode for today. Give us a shout out on iTunes if you're listening there or anywhere else you're listening. I've got that free PDF. Check that out, reallifepharmacology.com. It's 31-page PDF, top 200 study guide with my big things that you need to absolutely know for your pharmacology classes and board exam. So go check that out for free as well. I'm going to sign off for today. Take care. Thanks for listening, and hope you have a great rest of your day.